What a blessing. And again, as we mentioned last week, that's good preaching and music, right? Praise the Lord for that. So what a blessing it has been for us already to have the DeAndre family back with us. And 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that a good preacher reminds us of things. Matter of fact, Peter uses that word over and over and over again. And this morning's message was a good reminder of things we know but just need to be brought forth over and over again. So Brother Jake, good to have you and your family. Thank you for the music as well as already the preaching. We're praying for you as you preach now.
Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2. This place will always be a special place. There's so many people here that have influenced me and my ministry that I have. All those years ago, Brother Jim came to me and said, "Hey, Brother Jake, would you be interested?" Now, when a youth pastor asks you that, you're thinking, "Hey, this is going to be the time, man. This is going to be the place. I am going to be part of the youth group of Emmanuel Baptist Church." He said, "Would you be a part of, would you consider being a part of the junior church program?" Junior church program? Honestly, seriously, I was a youth pastor. I'll be a part of the youth program. He said, "You'll preach more junior church." Okay, sign me up. Isn't that amazing how God works? And really, to be honest with you, Brother Jim, that was a wonderful time in our lives. I got to learn how to speak to young people. Matter of fact, this is crazy. I speak to young people today because of it. I preach in junior camp all summer long with teen camp. And you know what? It's just, I really credit to Brother Jim saying, "Hey, would you do our junior church?" Someone said, "Hey, you want to do junior church?" I love it. It's an easy class to teach, let me tell you. And just have fun, man. That's what you got to do. Have fun and teach biblical truth. And man, everyone's satisfied and it's a good time. And so some of these old people now went through junior church, and it's really hard to believe that I'm that old. But I think it's a sign when you can't read your sheet music anymore from the pulpit and you think in is on. Amen. And so it's just a sign of getting old. At least that's what Brother Christensen said with me. All right, let's get to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, would you stand with me out of respect of reading God's Word? It's been a wonderful day. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We've enjoyed being back. And obviously we're here, actually all this week, we're going to be, we're like the parent that can't leave, all right? That's what we are. And so we're here all this week, actually, and we're just enjoying spending time with Callie. But we go back up to Indiana, and then I come back down to South Carolina. Why? Don't ask me, all right? And then we just keep on going. We do about 40 weeks, so we ask that you would pick up one of our prayer cards and pray for us as we travel around this great country. And we do revival meetings so often. And so I pray that you would just continue to ask God to give us the power and the strength to do that. Paul's speaking here to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, I want you to look at verse number 1. Look what Paul tells the preacher boy right here. He says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace." This morning, I'd like to look at that topic, how to become strong in grace. Before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, you've been a great God to us, and no doubt, Father, we can look in your word and see how that you want to help us. And Lord, we don't deserve that. But Father, would we understand what you have done for us, so that, Father, we won't hesitate at what you have for us. And Father, this morning, as we look at the truth, Father, could we understand the necessity to be strong, and then how? How? Paul says to Timothy, "Hey, I need you to be strong in grace." And so, Father, we'll thank you, praise you for what you're going to do in the invitation time. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever made a case for something that you wanted? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right. Every parent of teens should have their hand up, okay? You've experienced this, okay? Your child, your teenager, comes to you and says, "Hey, I need a cell phone." You really don't, but you think you do, okay? And so that teenager is going to make the case. They're going to build it just like a good lawyer would do it. They would start with common ground, okay? If you get me this phone, See how it works, Caleb? Where I will be able to communicate with you. Like, that's really your focus. But it works for getting a phone. And so you're like, hey, I'll be able to call you, Mom. Well, now you're pulling at the heartstrings, okay? Is how this works. And then you say something like this. Hey, if we get in an emergency, guess what? I can get a hold of you right away. I don't have to find somebody. Everybody else on the planet has one. But hey, I can get a hold of you. If you want to locate me, you can find me because my phone is attached to my body somewhere. And so, man, you are thinking, hey, this might be a good idea. And what are they doing? They're building the case that they need a phone. Now, I just implanted into some of you young people, hey, he's got a point. Let's do it, all right? Paul kind of is doing the same thing with Timothy. You say, what are you talking about? Well, when Paul says to Timothy, you need to be strong in grace, Timothy's response was probably like ours. Oh, yeah, preacher, that's right. Like, it's no big deal. Like, oh, yeah, preacher, you know, that might work well, you know, but it's not that big of a deal. I'll be fine if that doesn't happen. Can I tell you this morning, you cannot make it without God's grace. Matter of fact, Paul kind of like says, okay, let me show you, Timothy, why it's so important you need grace. Look at verse number 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Why do you have to be strong in grace? Because number one, you have to educate others. You say, what are you talking about? We homeschool our children, okay? And so we're not homeschoolers, but we homeschool our children. And so I teach all the Bible, science, and math, okay? So that's what I do. And I teach my children and a few other children through FaceTime. You know, I try to teach them 2 + 2 = 4, not 5. 4, okay? 4, all right? And so you know how it is when you start out, you use all kinds of things, right? You do it on the board, you do it with Oreos. Let me tell you, that really helps. And you do it with Skittles, you do it with M&Ms, you do it with marshmallows. Okay, we'll do it with anything, all right? And so we try to illustrate, if you got 2 over here and you got 2 over here, put them together and what do we got? Okay, 5. What? You know what it takes? Grace. Why? You want to strangle them. Now that's a simple mathematical fact, okay? But watch. Biblical truth is sometimes hard to deal with. And if you're going to teach the next generation, if you're going to educate others, whether you're the senior pastor, or you're the youth pastor, or the music pastor, or whatever person you are, you're a dad that wants to teach the next generation, get it. They don't always get it on the very first try. And sometimes, Mrs. Swearingen, you just want to squeeze their head till it pops off. Watch. Paul says, you know what it takes? Grace. But notice the second thing he tells us. He says the second reason why grace is so important or why you need is, look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul says to Timothy, hey, you not only need to educate, but you need it to endure. You see, listen, what we live here on earth is called a battle, a war. And they sang about it. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come on. We have a spiritual battle that we're dealing with. And let me tell you, if you're ever going to make it, if you're ever going to have victory, if you're ever going to be able to not live the carnal life, can I tell you, it's going to be a huge battle. And here's the temptation. Here's the temptation to quit. Fooey on this thing. This whole God thing, this church thing, this Bible thing, whatever you want to call this thing. Hogwash on it. You know what? My kids didn't turn out. I went through the whole thing. I went through Sigma, I went through the youth group, the young adults, and you know what? Look at what happened to my kids. I'm just done. Look what happens. We throw in the towel. But Paul says to Timothy, hey, wait a minute. This is very crucial. You've got to be strong in grace. Why? Because you've got to endure. Look at the third thing. Look what he says in verse 4. No man warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, we got to be strong, because if not, we're going to get entangled with the affairs of this life. You know, Adam, this thing happens almost subconsciously. Brother Stoliker, this gives us the idea of a spider web. I don't know if you've ever seen this evolve, but one day you're in the kitchen and there it is in the window. You see this little spider, you're like, ooh, that's not good. But he's on the outside, it's fine, okay? And the next day you come, what happens? Charlotte showed up or something, I don't know. And so you're like enamored by how big this thing got in just one day. But before long, you'll find things that are like sticking in it, okay? They do that for that reason. It's not to put radiant, okay? It's not for that, okay? Some of you got that, some of you didn't, all right? Read the book. And so they all of a sudden, you start seeing mosquitoes and you start seeing other objects, all of the insects go in the web. And that's what happens to us spiritually. Before long, we're caught up in the web of life and we're saying, you know what? I can't deal with life any longer, raising these children, taking care of this, taking care of my husband. I'm just done. And God says, or Paul says to Timothy, that's why I'm telling you, you got to be strong in grace. I'm trying to build the case. Look what he says in verse number 5. He says in verse 5, and if a man also strive for the mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. I say it this way. He's telling us we've got to be strong in grace because there are things that we have to eliminate from our lives. See, my sin nature says, hey, I like to fulfill the lust of the flesh. By the way, so does yours. My nature says this, I want to fulfill the lust of the eye. My nature says this, hey, I want to fulfill the pride of life. I want to do that. But look what the Bible says. Those, look at verse 5, strive for the mastery. You know what that is? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It says, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Hey, you know the only way you're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is if you live according to the book. That's it. And can I tell you, you know what Paul says? It's going to take lots of grace. Matter of fact, pick up what is the meaning of how. How? How can we become strong in grace? Look at verse 7. He says, consider, Paul says to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So he's like, hey, I just told you all these things because I want to build my case that grace is needed in your life. Now he tells us how. Two ways. Look what he says in the first one. Look at verse 8. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, the first way that obviously Paul is telling us that we become strong in grace is number one, by receiving salvation. By receiving salvation. What are you talking about? Well, look what he says. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Isn't that the gospel? That Jesus died. Now, why did he die? He died because of your sin. See, watch. This is where the grace falls in. The grace, according to Romans chapter 3, verse number 22, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. Now watch, watch, watch. The grace means this, unmerited favor. Brother Northcutt, that means you don't deserve this. Now I know we live in a world that says I deserve everything. You owe me everything, okay? I got that. But when we talk about sin and we talk about heaven, get it, you don't. And the Bible says, according to Ephesians 2, 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith in that of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Titus, just one chapter over, one book over, Titus 2, 11, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You see, listen to me. It is God's grace that delivers us from sin through what God allowed his son to do on the cross of Calvary. And that's the only way. Some people tell me, well, preacher, I think it's works and grace. No, it can't be. It can't be. Just the word alone tells us it can't be. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at chapter 1 of this great book, verse number 9. It says in verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our, what's the word, class? Works. Now watch. Many of you know this, but before the Lord called me into evangelism, I'm a tile setter by trade, okay? You know what that means? I spend a lot of time on my knees, okay? Now, not as much as I should for praying, but I've spent a lot of times on my knees, all right? And let's say that I came to your house and you said, hey, you know what, Brother Jake, I want you to remodel my bathroom and put in a shower. And so I did all the work and I figured up the quote and said, hey, this is what I could do. And because I'm an evangelist, I only got this 1 week. I'll have to come in. Me and Bryce will come in and we'll enjoy working in your shower. Now watch. While you're eating dinner and enjoying quality family time, me and Bryce are working in your shower. Okay? While you're watching Wheel of Fortune, okay? Don't act super spiritual. You watch it, all right? I am plumbing your bathtub, okay? While you're enjoying going out and spending time and shopping and going and doing all these other things, watch it. We're sweating in your bathroom. So Friday, it's all done. And we come in and say, hey, look at all these nice features, blah, blah, blah. Everything works. You say, oh, this looks so good. Okay, great. Okay. Now, what's the next question that should come out of your mouth? Hey, Brother Jake, how much do I? Now, why is that? Because while you are enjoying your Wheel of Fortune, while you are enjoying your quality family time, watch, I wasn't. That's why. And because I worked, you owe me. Now watch. If you could work your way to heaven, God would owe you it. It couldn't be grace. But look what the Bible says in verse number 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And what's the word, class? Grace. Hey, man, it's grace all the way. By the way, if you're ever going to become strong in grace, it starts by, number one, receiving salvation. But notice number two. Look with me in verse number 9. Paul says it this way. He says, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer. What? Paul? Even unto bounds by the word of God is, but the word of God is not bound. All right, number two. The second way that he tells us how we can be strong in grace, number one, by receiving salvation, but number two, by responding to suffering. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Paul says here in verse number 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Now, let's stop for a second. Who are we talking about? The Apostle Paul. Probably the greatest Christian, besides obviously Christ, okay, but that has lived on this earth. I mean, when you start reading about Paul and what he went through, how he was shipwrecked and how he was beaten and how he was thrown out of the city and how he was left for dead and how that he was imprisoned and he was stripped of all his possessions and all these things. And look what he says. Oh, I would do it all over again for you, Lord. I love what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this, my light affliction. Really? Light? Most of us would be like bragging and putting it on the screen up there. I can't get the word. The projector. There we go. And saying, hey, look at all the things I accomplished today in my CSRs. Okay? You know, but that's what Paul says. Oh, that's just my light affliction for the cause of Christ. So obviously we're talking about an individual that lived for the Lord. Wasn't perfect, we know that. He says he's the chief of sinners here. But truly, from a human perspective, this guy was a godly man. And now the Bible says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. That sounds like this guy is being falsely accused. Matter of fact, keep reading. Even unto bonds by the word of God, but the word of God is not bound. Hey, this sounds like this guy has been unjustly punished. Matter of fact, this book, 2 Timothy, is written from the Mamertine prison. We've actually had the opportunity in Italy, ancient city of Rome, to go see this place, and it's amazing. It's an amazing place to go. But what you find out about the Mamertine prison, it isn't where you finish your GED, watch cable, and work out and get three square meals a day, okay? That's not the Mamertine prison. Matter of fact, the truth be known, it's a hole in the ground. As a matter of fact, if I were to tell you a little bit more, it's actually the reservoir for the aqueduct system of ancient Rome. So you know what that means? When it rains, guess what fills up? The basement. Guess what the basement is? Right here where he's writing this book. And now, he says, I'm suffering trouble. Not because I've gone out and murdered somebody, or I raped somebody, or I've done some evil. You know why he's suffering trouble? Because he preaches the gospel. Because he decided to stand up for Jesus Christ. He says, I am now an evildoer. I'm even unto bonds. I am placed in the Mamertine prison, not because I truthfully deserve it, because I've done some crime, but because I preach Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, now I am suffering trouble. You know what's amazing about Paul? Paul's just like us. You know, it's amazing how many Christians have to suffer persecution. Matter of fact, if you just look over to chapter 3, verse number 12, it says this. Paul says, and yea, all that live godly in Christ, catch this phrase, it's very important, shall suffer persecution. You know what that means, Brother Bishop? That means this. Everyone that decides to live for Christ is going to face some type of persecution and suffering. Now, it comes in all different faces and forms. It comes all in different shapes and sizes. But, get this truth. If we deal with suffering properly, watch what happens. We grow in grace. We become strong in grace. If we don't, then we don't become as strong as God intended for us to be. You say, well, okay, I understand by properly responding to suffering. I see that Paul is facing some persecution that he didn't rightfully deserve. He was being falsely accused. By the way, many of you might have been falsely accused already. He's being unjustly punished. And can I say this morning, there's probably some of you that at work, you've been unjustly punished. I got it. Well, then, how do we do it? Well, look at the three steps he takes. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. He gives us three steps. You almost started sweating. I saw that, okay? Three steps on how to properly respond to suffering so that we can be strong in grace, because that's what he tells us here. Look at verse number 10. It says, therefore, I endured all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Number one, Paul says, if you're going to properly respond to suffering, then number one, you've got to set the purpose. Set the purpose. You say, what are you talking about? Hey, what is your goal? What is your purpose of this trial, this suffering, this persecution you're going to go through? I want you to see what Paul's is. Look at what he says. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they, the people that are bringing persecution in their life, let's say it the way we say it, the thorn in our backside, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. What was Paul really saying? Here's what he was saying. You know what my purpose is through this persecution? This suffering I'm going through? Brother Workman, it's one reason. Here it is. That these people that are bringing this suffering in my life would be saved. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not that spiritual. Why? When people persecute me, when people bring suffering into my life, you know what I'm thinking? How can I run them over with a bus? That's how I'm thinking. It's not, hey, how can I bring them to Christ? Why? Because when you let your human nature take over, nobody likes to suffer. And those that are at the point of making us suffer, we resent. Matter of fact, Brother Stoliker, we want to hurt them as much as they hurt us, if not more. But Paul says, no, Timothy, though the temptation is going to be strong to deal with people that way, you've got to set the purpose, you've got to set the goal, and that's it, that they would come and see Jesus through this. Let me tell you, that's not easy. Because when someone starts ripping me apart, or worse, someone starts ripping my family apart, ooh, the Chicago-style gangsta comes out in me. Let's go finish this outside. I don't like that. And that rubs me the wrong way. But if I'm going to properly deal with it, so that I can become strong in grace, then get it. I've got to set the purpose. Okay, Lord. It's not what I want. But God, I know you got a purpose in this trial that I'm going through, this suffering I'm going to... Lord, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it to you. God, I will try to be Christ-like through this whole entire difficult situation. The suffering, the persecution that I've got to go through. Lord, I'm gonna set the purpose. Number two, look what he says in verse 15. He says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so we've got to, number one, if we're going to properly deal with this suffering so that we be strong in grace, number one, we got to set the purpose. Number two, we got to study the principles. Study the principles. Now, the word study there doesn't mean like, hey, I've got to cram this for my Hebrew test, okay? That's not what it is. By the way, don't cram for Hebrew. It's a waste, okay? It's just not going to make it. Study means diligent. It means you're going to keep on doing it. Whether you like it or not, it's not really the issue. You're just going to be faithful. Well, what are you going to be faithful to do? To focus on the principles of God's Word. Now, here's what we naturally do. We naturally don't focus on the principles. We focus on the problem. I can't pay my school bill. I can't pay my school bill. You're right. You can't. Neither can your parents, okay? I got it. We're good to go. We're agreeing. But you got one or two options. You can focus on that, or you can focus on the principles of God's Word. You say, what are you talking about? Well, flip over a chapter. Look with me in chapter 4, verse number 17. What are some principles we can focus on? Well, here... Paul gives Timothy a few of them. I mean, we're not going to go through all of them, but here's some great ones that would really be helpful when you're facing suffering and persecution. Look what the Bible says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Okay, we got to stop here, okay? Now, that person that is backbiting you, that person that stabbed you in the back, that person that ran you over with the bus, okay? They're not standing with you anymore, obviously, okay? Why? You don't want to stand next to someone that keeps stabbing you, okay? That's not normal, all right? You run from that person. You deny that person your presence, okay? You don't want to be seen with that. Matter of fact, if they fell off the side of the square earth, you'd be okay with it, okay? Why? You don't want to deal with them. Now watch. Because they hurt you. And sometimes, it's not one person. It's not two people. It seems like everybody. You know what I find? As Jesus Christ started his ministry, there were lots of people. Why? Because everyone likes to be healed. Oh, you got a broken leg? Okay, I'll heal you. Okay? You've got no food? Okay, here's some food. Awesome! But then as he got closer to the cross, hey! Hello? Hello? Where'd everybody go? Isn't it amazing? Why? When you become more like Christ, it's amazing how often you get fewer and fewer friends. And sometimes you're like, Pastor Robert, I don't really know if this is worth it. I've got lost family and trying to live for God, and they disown me. I go to this place, Ambassador Baptist College. I think, oh, this is going to be the Mecca of Christ love. And I get there, and they think I'm a weirdo. You are, okay? You don't have to wonder. It's true. And then all of a sudden, you're like, Lord, is there anyone? There is. The Lord stood with me. You see, Paul's not preaching from a textbook. Because Paul is by himself in a damp prison cell in the earth. And he's telling some guy that's a young, rising preacher boy, he says, let me tell you, if anyone could focus on the problem, I got this one down. It's me. But you know how I make it through life? You know how I become strong in grace? Here it is. I study the principles. I remind myself that the Lord stood with me. Notice what else he says in verse 17. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Oh, get this. And strengthened me. You know what you need through your suffering? Here it is. Here it is. Strength. I love what he says in Ephesians chapter 3. He says that the inner man, when the inner man is weakened, get this, as men we can handle a lot. Why? Because we're big and bad, and some of you are ugly. But anyways, we are tough. We're just soldiers for Jesus Christ. Yeah, but when that inner man is wounded, all of a sudden that tough shell goes away. And you're not so big and bad. You might still be ugly, but you're not as big and bad as you thought you were. And you know what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go start getting the measure tape out of the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of Christ. You know what you're going to find, Brother Steve? It's immeasurable. You don't have a tape measure long enough. You don't have a building big enough. You'll never find the end. And you know what's amazing to me? This is what he says in that great chapter, Ephesians chapter 3. He says, that's what strengthens the inner man. Why? You're studying the principles. Look what else he says. He says in verse number 18, he says, and the Lord shall deliver me. Oh man, I'm liking this more and more, because in my suffering, in my persecution, when I feel I've been wrong, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for deliverance. I'm looking for someone to say, you know what? This is how you can get over. This is how you can forgive. This is how you can love, even when you've been hurt. Wow. But who does that? It doesn't say, Brother Parker shall deliver you. It doesn't say that. It says, here's the principle, I'll deliver you. Matter of fact, keep reading. From every evil work and will, I love this, preserve me. You know what that has the idea of? You'll be better than what you were. I like it. So that means I'm going to go through this trial, this suffering, this persecution, and if I respond properly by setting the purpose and studying the principles, the Bible says, listen, I can be better than what I was. You know why? You're going to be strong in grace. See how it all connects? Let me give you the third and we'll be done. Go back with me to verse number 16. Chapter 2, verse 16, the third step that he tells us is 16. It says, but shun the profane and the vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, Paul is helping Timothy. He says, I know that sometimes it's hard. The people around you affect you. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 17, and their words, those people that are bringing this suffering, this persecution, the Bible says, will eat as doth a canker. And so the Bible gives us the illustration of the locust, how they will come and consume you. And so Paul says, okay, let me give you the third step. He says, you got to set the purpose. You got to study the principles. But number three, you got to shun the profane. Now, I want you to pay very close attention. What that means is this. It doesn't mean that you defriend them from your Facebook account. Okay? No. It doesn't mean you go around the church gossiping around about them. No. You don't go writing hate emails to Pastor Ogle about them. That doesn't mean that. You know what it means? I mean, sometimes in life, you've got to have a little buffer. You just got to have some buffer. You got to have a little space. Why? Because Pastor Ogle, these individuals seem, every time you're around them, to bring you in the wrong direction. Doesn't mean that you go around and physically beat them. You know what you really ought to do? You ought to pray for them. But what it means is you're going to give a little distance. Why? Because Paul knew that as a young man, let me tell you, the temptation to throw up the flag of surrender would be great. And so he's saying, hey, I want you to be strong in grace. And so it starts by receiving salvation and then properly responding to suffering. But this is how it's going to happen in your life. You're just not going to properly respond because by nature, you put up the defense mode. But Paul says, but by God's grace, you can properly respond and become stronger in grace. Why? Why would I do all that? Well, verse 21 tells us. Simply because when we want to be fit for the Master's use. See, God needs you. Did you know that? God needs you as a vessel of grace. But it's got to be when you receive salvation and you properly respond to suffering. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed here this morning. Church family, visitors, friends, thanks for being here this morning. Obviously, I don't know your personal life. I don't know the suffering, I don't know the persecution, I don't know the face or the form, I don't know the size or the shape, I don't know any of that in your personal life, but I know this, that as I was preparing to preach yesterday and today, the Lord laid this message on my heart. And no doubt, we all got to become strong in grace. There's no one here that says, well, I've mastered this. No, no, no. You're just lying to yourself. That's all. All of us have to become strong in grace. And so often, we see that grace through hardship, through suffering. Matter of fact, Paul tells his preacher boy, hey, therefore I endured it. And maybe you're here this morning and, oh, you wouldn't say that you're suffering like Paul suffered in the Mamertine prison. I got that. But the Bible does tell us, and yea, all who that live godly shall suffer persecution. You say, Brother Jake, I'm actually dealing with something right now in my life. Brother Jake, would you pray with me that I take these same three steps so that I too could become strong in grace? Hey, I don't need to know what you're suffering with. That's between you and the Lord. My question is, maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I'm really dealing with something in my life. And Brother Jake, would you pray with me that way? Hey, if that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking, but God's speaking to your heart right now. Matter of fact, God's knocking on the door of your heart saying, hey, this message was for you. You say, Brother Jake, would you pray with me that way? Hey, would you quietly just slip your hand up long enough for me to see it? Great, great, wonderful. Thanks for your honesty. Thank you so much. Anybody else to say, preacher, would you remember me in prayer? I realize that, you know what, there's some things going on in my life. And you know what, I need to be strong in grace. That's all I need. Truthfully, we all do. But some people are dealing with it a little bit more than others right now. You say, Brother Jake, would you remember me in prayer? Anybody else? Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else would say, preacher, would you remember me in prayer? One more question. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Jake, I'm not strong in grace. Maybe it's because you've never received salvation. Hey, can I tell you, it's not works. It really isn't. If it's works, it can't be grace. If it's grace, it's not works. And you say, preacher, would you remember me in prayer? I really don't know if I've ever received this salvation that you talk about. Would you pray that I could figure that out this morning? Hey, if that's you, and you're here this morning, and I'm speaking to your heart, and you say, Brother Jake, would you pray with me that? Preacher, would you remember that? Hey, would you do one thing for me? Would you just quietly slip your hand up long enough for me to see it? I will not embarrass you. I won't point you out. I just want to pray that you could figure that out before you leave the building here this morning. You say, preacher, would you remember me in prayer? Quietly, just slip it up long enough for me to see it, and you put it right back down. Preacher, would you remember me? Just quietly slip it up long enough, put it right back down. Preacher, I really don't think I've received that salvation, received that grace. Preacher, would you remember me in prayer? Wonderful. Okay, just a moment, I'm going to pray. After I'm done praying, Brother Brew is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. Hey, if God's speaking in your heart, this altar is open for, notice the word, us. Why? Because this preacher needs grace. He needs to properly deal with suffering just like all of you. I challenge you, would you come and do business with him? Father, we thank you so much for this place. And Lord, all the people here that have influenced my life, my family's life, Lord, I'm thankful for them. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness. But Lord, this morning as we've seen your word, Lord, how it applies to our lives, we've got a decision to make. Are we going to receive this working of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, or are we going to reject it? Only two options. And I, Father, I pray that, Lord, we would become strong in grace because we're receiving your working in our hearts this morning. Father, we'll thank you for it. Jesus, my precious Savior's name. Amen. Would you stand with me?